Okay, so we're diving into some pretty interesting stuff today, right?
Yeah.
You brought this case, Scott Reeder v. Michael Madigan, and
yeah.
It really boils down to, I think, this tension between journalists and their need to access legislatures, right,
yeah.
to do their job, and on the other hand, the legislature kind of needing to do its thing without feeling like they're constantly being messed with.
Influenced or pressured.
Yeah, exactly.
Unduly influenced.
So we got these excerpts, right, from this fictional podcast, Lex Plug, and a case brief, and then like a full-on legal brief, like the real deal on this case.
It's a fascinating case, really.
So what we're really trying to figure out is how this whole idea of legislative immunity became such a huge factor in this fight over press credentials.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's not about a big law or, you know, some controversial policy.
Right.
It's really procedural. It's like who gets to be in the room.
Right. And it's not just who gets to be in the room. It's like who gets to report on what's happening in the room.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a big deal.
Absolutely. And it shows how these seemingly minor procedural issues can raise really big constitutional questions.
Exactly. And at the heart of this, we have Scott Reeder, right? Working for the Illinois Policy Institute, IPI.
IPI, yep.
And he's going up against like some big players in the Illinois legislature.
Some powerful figures, yeah.
Yeah. And they deny him media credentials. Now, we should probably tell folks a bit about IPI, what they are, what they stand for.
Sure. They're described as a free market, limited government advocacy group.
Right, right. So they've got a definite, viewpoint, a mission
Absolutely.
That they're pursuing. But, you know, this denial of credentials wasn't random. It wasn't personal. It was based on specific rules that were in place.
Right. It wasn't like, we don't like you, Scott Reeder. It was like, look, these are the rules and
you fall under
this.
This category. Yeah, exactly. And those rules are really at the center of why the courts ruled the way they did.
Yeah.
So we got to break those down. Senate Rule 7.1 and House Rule 385.
All right.
Essentially, these rules said, if your organization is lobbying, then sorry, no press pass for you.
Right. You can't wear two hats, so to speak.
Right, exactly. And our sources, they confirmed that IPI at the time, they were a registered lobbying entity.
Yeah. So that's the initial problem, right?
Right.
They're lobbying, so no press credentials.
Right. But it gets more complicated.
Oh, it does.
Because even after IPI deregistered as a lobbyist in 2014, the legislature still said, nope, no credentials for you, Mr. Reeder.
Right.
And their reasoning was, well, you still have these links to lobbying activities.
Right. So it raises the question, like, how closely linked is too closely linked?
Exactly. Like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah. Like, is it just formal registration or is it more about the perceived influence and ongoing activities?
Yeah. And is that fair? That's a whole other question.
Exactly. And, you know, the courts didn't really grapple with that.
Right.
Because Reeder's challenges in court, they didn't go his way. The district court dismissed the case, citing legislative immunity. And then the Seventh Circuit, they agreed. They upheld the dismissal.
Yeah. So we really need to unpack this whole concept of legislative immunity.
Yeah.
Because it seems so powerful that it just shut the whole thing down. Like, they didn't even really look at whether denying those credentials was fair or not.
Right. It's like the shield that protected the legislature from even having to explain its actions.
Right. So where does it come from? This isn't just something they made up. It's rooted in the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
The speech or debate clause.
Exactly. Article 1, Section 6. And that clause is meant to protect, you know, essential legislative actions.
Right. So the question becomes, is deciding who gets a press pass, is that considered a core legislative act?
Right. And in this case, the court said, yes, it is.
Which is interesting because you could see it both ways, right?
You absolutely could. It seems administrative, procedural.
Right. But they used what they called a functional approach.
Right. They looked at the purpose of the rules. Why do they exist?
So they look at the why behind the rules, not just the what of the rules. And they said, based on this old case, Kilburn v. Thompson, these rules are there to protect the legislative process itself.
Right. To make sure that lawmakers can debate and deliberate freely without feeling like they're constantly under scrutiny or pressure.
Right. And to make sure they're not being unduly influenced.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting. The court basically said, we're not going to second guess whether the legislature's rules are rational or fair.
Right. Legislative immunity applies regardless of the perceived merit of the rule. It's like they could have the silliest rule and the court's not going to touch it, as long as it's connected to this idea of protecting the legislative process.
Right. And this speaks to the principle of separation of powers. Mm. The court is showing deference to the legislature's judgment about how best to manage its own affairs.
Right. They're basically saying, look, you guys are a separate branch of government. We trust that you have reasons for doing what you do, even if those reasons seem a little arbitrary.
Yeah, exactly. So Reeder, of course, argued that denying him credentials violates his freedom of the press, his First Amendment rights.
Right. But the court said, nope, legislative immunity trumps that.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't even matter if your First Amendment argument is valid because you can't even get to that point.
Right. Legislative immunity is a wall.
Exactly.
And he also brought up due process concerns under the 14th Amendment, saying the rules are vague and arbitrarily applied.
Right.
But again, the court said, nope, legislative immunity.
Immunity wins again.
Yeah. It's a powerful doctrine.
It is. And this has some pretty big implications for journalism, for government transparency.
Right. I mean, it seems like from this case, legislatures have a lot of leeway in restricting press access, as long as they can argue that it's about protecting their ability to legislate.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could make it harder for journalists, especially those working for organizations that also do advocacy work, to get credentials.
Right. Even if they're not actively lobbying at that moment, like that past association could be enough to deny them access.
Exactly. And that could have a chilling effect on certain types of reporting, especially investigative reporting.
Right. Because sometimes the organizations that do the best investigative reporting are the ones that have strong opinions and a history of advocating for certain policies.
Absolutely.
And this ruling also underscores the limitations of the courts.
Yeah. They're not always willing to step in and question the internal workings of another branch of government.
Right. They specifically said they weren't going to address hypothetical scenarios like, what if these rules were applied in a discriminatory way?
Right. They just focused on the specific facts of Reeder's case.
Right. So a couple of key quotes that really jumped out at me. The court said, the rules that the defendants invoked in their decision with respect to Reeder demonstrate that his exclusion from the press boxes on the floor of the assembly is designed to avoid the impairment of deliberations there.
Yeah, that's a really telling statement. They're basically saying that the legislature has a legitimate interest in controlling who has access to the floor of the assembly.
Right. And then they also said that legislative immunity shields actions that are integral to the legislative process.
Right. So it's not just about protecting lawmakers from lawsuits over their votes or their speeches.
Right. It's broader than that. It's about protecting the whole process.
Exactly. And the Lexplug guide you brought up, it even compares this case to Gravel v. United States.
Oh, yeah. That's a really interesting connection.
In that case, the Supreme Court extended legislative immunity to legislative aides.
Right, as long as they're acting on behalf of the legislator.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not just the lawmakers themselves who are protected. It's also their staff, their aides.
Right, anyone who's helping them to carry out their legislative duties.
Yeah. So what does all this mean for our listeners, right?
Well, I think Reeder v. Madigan is a really powerful illustration of how strong legislative immunity is. It can be a major obstacle even when someone is claiming that their fundamental rights have been violated.
Right. And it shows how much deference the courts are willing to give to the legislature's own judgment about how to manage its affairs.
Exactly. And it raises some tough questions. Where do we draw the line between legislative autonomy and the public's right to know? How do we balance those competing interests?
Big questions.
Yeah, big questions. And there's no easy answers. But this case definitely suggests that, at least when it comes to press access and concerns about lobbying influence, the balance tips pretty heavily in favor of legislative immunity. So what are your thoughts? What really stands out to you about this ruling?
Well, I think what's most striking is how it highlights the potential tension between two really important values, freedom of the press and the need for a functioning legislature. On the one hand, we want a robust and independent press that can hold our lawmakers accountable. But on the other hand, we also want to protect the legislature from undue influence and pressure so they can do their job effectively. And this case shows how tricky it can be to find the right balance between those two values. It's something we need to be thinking about as citizens, as journalists, as legal professionals, because ultimately it's about finding the right balance for our democracy.
Absolutely. It's a complex issue with no easy answers. But I think this case gives us a lot to chew on. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
My pleasure. It's a case that I think deserves more attention, more discussion.
Definitely.
Because it has implications that go far beyond this one particular dispute over press credentials. It really gets to the heart of how our government functions, how we balance competing rights and interests. It's a conversation we need to be having.
I completely agree. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
And all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll see you next time.